We're talking about demonology, the devil and demons. And last week we talked about the fact that demonic influence always begins with a suggestion. The devil came up to Adam, or to Eve, suggested that she have a taste of the fruit. And I was thinking about this, meditating in my mind, I thought to myself, you know, Eve must have gone like, must have had some expression after she bit the fruit. She must have gone, ooh, you know. Of course, nothing really happened after she bit the fruit. Because she was not the head of the project. Adam was. Amen. Until Adam bit that fruit, everything stayed the same. But of course, she then, so the devil suggested she bite the fruit and disobey God. She then suggested he do the same. And he did. And the moment he did, all hell literally broke loose. Amen. Suggestion. That's what we're talking about. Demonic influence comes with suggestion. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? That's what the temptation is, right? The temptation is an offer. It's a suggestion. This is good for you. This will make you feel good. This will make people think more highly of you. This, all sorts of things, suggestions. So we said demonic influence comes with suggestions, and therefore we must judge every suggestion we get. Not assume that a suggestion that comes right after a godly one is necessarily also godly. And we talked about that. Particularly in the life of Peter. Peter identifying who Jesus is one moment, and then apparently the next moment, you know, trying to rebuke Jesus. Suggestions. All right. And then we said the next level of demonic activity, the suggestion leads to oppression. Oppression, demonic oppression, has to do with the body. Sickness, disease, how demonic influence can be exerted on certain body parts to cause disease and sicknesses and so forth. And we'll look at several scriptures about that. Bible identifies dumb and deaf spirit and so forth. Okay? Now, and then we talked about obsession. Obsession has to do with the mind. Whether you begin to enjoy the result of this suggestion, of demonic suggestion that you gave into, okay, classically sin. You begin to enjoy the sin, and you don't really want deliverance because nobody would ever know, nobody knew. So, hey, why stop? Let's keep enjoying this. See, that's obsession. Enjoying sin. Oh, yeah. Before I say it again, if there's no enjoyment in sin, none of us will be doing it. There is pleasure in sin, the Bible says, is for a season. So what the devil does is he emphasizes the pleasure part and de-emphasizes the consequences part. In fact, he doesn't even want you to know there'll be any consequences. Hence, nobody will ever find out, which means there'll be no consequences. But see, when the devil tells you that, he just called you a fool. Right? Because you are somebody and you do know. So what do you mean nobody will ever find out? You are somebody and you've already found out. Besides that, there's Jesus. He's somebody. That's a lie. But see, that's obsession. You sort of enjoy this. You enjoy the pride. You enjoy the whatever it is. And you don't really get the way. You don't really even want. You don't even begin to think there's no problem with this. Everybody's doing it. You know, I'm not. Here's something I've learned lately. Nobody is perfect. That's a lie. I'm perfect in Jesus. So are you. If you're a believer. That's a lie. Jesus was perfect, Jesus is perfect, and he's a person. So what do you mean nobody's perfect? Of course, I'm perfect in Jesus. I don't act perfect, but I am perfect. So the idea that, well, nobody is perfect, therefore, you know, no. That's doctrines of devils, seducing spirits, trying to make you feel better about an area that you ought to just repent and put it behind you and go on. That's a form of justification. Nobody is perfect. Praise the Lord. And then we're going to talk to some about possession. Possession is when the demons have taken over just about all of it. Spirit, soul, and body. Okay? We did say, however, that you cannot, we gave you some example of some men in history. Hitler, for example, had to have been possessed. Okay, so let's pick up from there now and do a few minutes and then we'll wrap this up. Alright, so demonic possession is not usually the ultimate plan of the devil. It would seem like it would be, right? Where he would take over someone completely. But that's not always his ultimate plan. And I think I mentioned it, a lunatic, a crazed, insane person is not of much use to the devil's kingdom. I mean, everybody dismisses insane people. You know, they're insane. Well, you know, I mean, you know. Now, the devil enjoys torturing them. That may come as a shock to some of you. Oh, yeah. Just like God enjoys you being happy and full of joy and so forth, the devil enjoys tormenting people. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. He does. He said, what kind of being would do? Oh, well, there you have it. Which is why we all have anything to do with it. But he knows that a crazed, insane person can't really do much for him. Okay? So he wants evangelists. Oh, yeah. He wants influencers who can influence people and allow him to do more of his killing and stealing and destroying and all of that. Now, I'm not suggesting that folks who are influencers on the internet are serving the devil. Some of them probably are, right? Just like a very group of people. But I'm saying that the idea of influencing, being an influencer, is one that the devil subscribes to totally. By the way, God does too. When Jesus said you are the light of the world, what is he saying? You are an influencer. Mm-hmm. Huh? That's what he meant. That's all he meant. You are the salt of the earth. You are supposed to influence. Just like salt influences everything it's put into, you are supposed to have that effect. The idea of an influencer is something the devil subscribes to. And that's what he's after. Not necessarily making somebody insane. Because it's better to control a lot of people unawares. Huh? Better to control a lot of people unawares than it is to torment one person. And you watch the news and there's no question. Folks are being influenced and controlled and some of them don't even have any idea. When blue becomes brown and red becomes green, when up becomes down, right? When the way people think is flipped and changed. That's influence. Demonic influence. Which is far more deadly than making one person insane. Alright. As ruler of this world, and he is, the devil has a hierarchy. We've talked about that. Look at John 14. I have a tendency to want to rush through this, but I have to remember that this is a subject matter that I haven't talked a whole lot about until recently. This is part number 18, you know. And I was feeling bad the other day until I saw on YouTube yesterday, I think it was, that somebody had a teaching series. Part teaching series of, I think Nancy Dufresne had a, I thought, I think I saw some, part part number 148. I thought, woo, I'm doing fine then. Oh, brother. Okay, so John. And coming. I don't think she's done yet. Oh, boy. And she's an excellent teacher of God's word. I can't recommend her more. Anymore. Nancy Dufresne. Don't know if nobody heard of her. Yeah, you check her out. Glory to God forever.
Amen.
John 14, look at verse number 30. John 14:30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. This is Jesus speaking. No, for the prince of this world, okay, cometh, and he has nothing in me. So the scriptures identify him, the devil, as the ruler of this world. Here he is called the prince of this world. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. You probably know the scriptures, but we have to lay this down again and again and again and again. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the devil is called the god of this world. In whom? The god of this world. So he's running the world. God is not running the world. He's not. He may be running you in the world, but he's not running the world. If God was running the world, he's doing a terrible job of it. Amen. All right, and of course, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, this is what we have. Also have a hierarchy of demonic powers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Okay? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Did you notice he keep using the word against? It's giving you a different class. One class is one class of demons, principalities. Here's another class of demons, powers. Here's another class of demons, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Here's another class, spiritual wickedness in high places. So notice that a class of demons are called rulers of the darkness of this world. He is in charge of this world. The world system and so forth, God is not. My point is, as ruler, O prince of this world, he has a hierarchy. We just read that hierarchy. He also has an established form of worship. Amen. That's what seances are. That's what the chanting is. Meditation is a form of worship. If you're not meditating in this book, there's not any other legitimate form of meditation if you're not in the scriptures. Amen. As a believer, if you're not, you're meditating over in the realm of demons. I don't mind telling you, as plain as I can. The Bible talks about meditating God's word day and night. But that's God's word. If you're not meditating this book, you're meditating anything else. It's a form of worship. For my worship. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17. Let me show you that scripture. And that may be all the time we have. We'll see. 1 Kings 17. Where is 1 Kings? Trying to rush. 1 Kings 17. The land has fallen into apostasy. The king Ahab and his queen Jezebel have messed things up. And so God sent Elijah to engineer a contest to show the people who the real God is. And so we have this contest in 1 Kings 17. And look at verse number... I got my scripture. Did I get my scriptures wrong here?
It's 18.
I get to study and it's late and I'm half tired. Yeah, it's 18. Okay. The context is on chapter 18. So 17 is a widow woman and so forth. Okay? And so And so, please read the chapter. We don't have time to read it for you. But again, like I said, this apostasy in the land, the king Ahab, it has led the people astray with the help of his queen, Jezebel. And so God sends Elijah to have a contest on Mount Carmel. And he says, let's do this. Let's cut up some beef and build an altar without putting fire on it. And you guys, the prophets of Baal, that was the Obal, however you pronounce it, was the false god. You prophets of Baal, you pray, and then I pray. The God that answers with fire is the real God. And so I'm trying to show you demon worship. And so here they go, the prophets of Baal. They begin to pray. Look at verse 26. And they took the bullock, which was given unto them. They dressed it. And then they began to call on the name of Baal, a demon spirit. Huh? That's worship. From morning until noon. Wow. Saying, oh Baal. You get that? Just like we would say, oh Jesus. They said, oh Baal. Hear us. He can't. He's deaf. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar. They leaped upon the altar. How come? Demons are active. They leaped up and down on the altar, trying to get stuff to happen. You remember, sometimes, you know, Jesus is about to cast the devil out, and the devil throws the person down and starts whipping them back and forth. That's what was going on. They lived upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. And he said, cry aloud, for he is a God, is he not? Maybe he's talking to somebody else. Maybe he's pursuing some other something. Get his attention. Maybe he's on a journey. He might be on vacation. Or perhaps he's asleep. Wake him up. Now, here's a form of worship, verse 28. And they cried aloud and they cut themselves. Huh? They cut themselves. So if you thought this was a modern day phenomena where people cut themselves, you'll be completely mistaken. Here are people cutting themselves praying to demon spirits. Which lets us know, anything, any voice that will tell you to hurt yourself, that's not God. That's not God. That's a demon spirit talking to you. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Talk back to it. Tell it, no, I won't do that. Amen. Amen. That's a demon spirit talking to you. Cut yourself off. You remember, we don't hear much about it anymore, but back a decade or so ago, were young girls who were, just thin as can be, eat food and then make themselves throw it up because the demon spirit told them they were fat. Remember that? What did they call it? Bohemia, something like that. Bulimia, one of those terms. That's what they called it. But that demon spirit you're thin to the bone, and it's telling you you're too fat. And those girls didn't know any better, believed it, and tried to throw up the food they just say. Anything, any voice you hear that instructs you to hurt yourself, I guarantee you that's a demon spirit talking to you. That's not God. Mm-mm. So you can say, no, I won't do that. I won't hurt myself. Get away from me, you devil from hell. And get born again. Amen. So Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. So you can have authority to talk to them demons. So they'll leave you alone. Here they are cutting themselves off in worship to this demon spirit. okay, cut themselves after their manner, which means that's what they usually did, huh? With knives, lancets, till the blood gushed up upon them. Imagine that. This is demonic worship. And then he says, and it came to pass, when midday was past, that they prophesied. Uh-oh. We're telling you that the devil has his own forms of worship. He has his own prophets and priests. They began to prophesy. This is not the Spirit of God for sure. Until the time of the offering of the evening, nothing happened. And so Elisha said, step aside, guy. Let me show you the real God. Amen. You read the rest of that story. And fire came up. Water leaking. Fire came up. I said all that. Read all that to show you that the ruler of this world, the devil, wants evangelists. In fact, he has evangelists. He has influencers. Huh? He has a hierarchy. He has established forms of worship, chants, meditation, cutting yourself up. He ordains his own prophets. Huh? We just saw them. They said they were prophesying. They must be prophets then, huh? Not God's prophets, of course. He ordains his own prophets. He anoints them with his own spirit. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Oh, yeah. So we have to be aware of the realm we're in. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, but there were false prophets. Huh? Well, if a true prophet is a prophet of God, then a false prophet must be a prophet of the devil, influenced by demon spirits. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be also false teachers. So not only are there false prophets, there are also false teachers. All that means is they are teaching the doctrine of the devil. Notice it says among you. It's talking about Christians now. Because if you think about it, all of the teaching outside of the church about spiritual stuff is false, right? So we wouldn't call them false prophets. They are just demonic prophets. But if it's happening in the church and it's not godly, that's when the title false is appropriate. So that's not too surprising. Okay? There shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies or doctrines of devils, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. The devil has a hierarchy just like God has. He has ministers, he has prophets, he has teachers. Okay? And so we have to be aware. The devil even has substitutes for the Bible. He has substitutes for the Bible. Look at Revelation 22. I'm gonna take 5 more minutes and I'm done. Revelation 22, verse 18. Here's a substitute. Yes, well, you know that, right? I mean, how many religious books are out there? For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophets of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, which means that it's possible and has been done. And then it says, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And so there are plenty of religious books. Substitutes for the Bible. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 19. Book of Acts chapter 19. We have to be more aware of the demonic realm of the spirit. Not just the godly, divine realm, also the demonic realm. Book of Acts chapter 19. Look at verse number... look at verse 18. Acts 19:18. Paul has been evangelizing. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books. They brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of the books and found them to be 50,000 pieces of silver. These were expensive books. And so what were the contents of these books? Doctrines of devils. These were pseudo Bibles, you might say. He has his own Bibles, the devil does. His own teachings, books of teachings that are not so. I could mention a few, but the Bible is not the only religious book out there. There are plenty of other ones. Amen. Amen. All right. Lastly, the devil has his own Christ. He has his own Christ. Isn't that something? What does the word Christ mean? Anointed one. Which all just means that there are certain people the devil has anointed. I've told you before, been watching television, sitting there watching politicians, the news, and a certain politician came on, and the Spirit of the Lord told me, that person is anointed of the devil. I won't call their name, of course, but, we have known these things. We have known these things. Matthew 24. Look at verse number 24. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs. Okay, there you have it. Jesus, this is in the red, which means Jesus is speaking. There shall arise false Christs. What is the false Christ? Christ means anointed one. A false anointed one just means that they are anointed by the false God, by the devil. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. So then he has false Christ, false prophets. And it says, they shall show great signs and wonders. Oh my. So just because you see a great sign and a wonder does not mean it's divine. Everything supernatural is not divine. The devil is also a supernatural being. He says, false prophets, great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Okay? Look at Mark 13. The devil has his own Christ. Must be aware of that. So we're not just taken in because something supernatural happened. If you go somewhere, I'm going to go ahead myself when I say this, but bears repeating. I will repeat it when I get there again. You go somewhere and the piano just starts to play on its own. You tell it to shut up. Amen. And some chair just starts to elevate. You tell that chair to get back down where you belong. Amen. Don't assume being all like, no. It may be supernatural, but it's not God. Because what's the godly idea of having a chair elevated? So what? How does that help anybody? Nothing. It's just a way to deceive you into to draw you in into the supernatural of the devil. That's all that is. Mark 13. Look at verse number 22. Mark 13:22. For false Christs, plural. Did you notice that? False Christ and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders. Why? To seduce The other scripture says to deceive. This says to seduce. Same thing, but, you know, different terminology in terms of the way in which it happens. To seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. And here's my last scripture. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. The devil has his own anointed ones. Don't be impressed by them. You're supposed to actually counter them. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. There are plenty of spirits out there. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Have them pass a test. So you can determine whether they are of God or of the devil. Why? Because many, not a few, many false prophets, and we could add Christ and teachers and evangelists and pastors, I'm not talking about godly pastors, I'm talking about pastors of the devil, are gone out into the world. This is the reality of the demonic world that we have to know about. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. Thank you for further revelation about these matters, that we might be equipped to walk right before you in these dangerous times and be light and be salt. And help deliver those who are oppressed. For we have a commission, every one of us. Jesus said, those that believe on him shall cast out devils. There are devils that have to be cast out so that men and women can be free and relieved of torture. We are the ones to do it. We have to have the knowledge. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. My friend, do you know Jesus? If you don't, we can fix it right now. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Lead me to a church that will teach me these things and help me live a victorious Christian life. I receive my prayer language. I receive my healing. I receive financial prosperity. I receive peace. I receive a family that reflects heaven. Thank you, Father, for all of your gifts, especially the gift of Jesus. In his name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Pray that prayer. You did exactly what he said you would do. And your very next task, if you don't have a Bible, you can get one. Or get online. Download the Bible. If you do, find a church home. It's the very first thing you have to do. And have him lead you. You visit several churches. And he'll lead you to one where he's called you to. And this one is available to you, of course. If you live anywhere near here, the Austin area, we invite you to come here. At least come visit. If not, we're going to be back right here we are next week at the exact same time. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.